Mini episode 799 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 799. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with the fourth part of our 10th anniversary celebration, our look at the top five television programs from January 2007 to January 2017. When the FDH Lounge spun off of FantasyDraftHelp.com on January 14th, 2007, we vowed to take our same X's and O's analysis from the world of sports and apply it to the entire world itself. And we've certainly done that. We've covered this new golden age of TV in depth, and here we've sorted out our views of the best of the best TV programs to grace our screens over the last decade. Here's our list. Number 5, Boss. It might seem like a dubious distinction, but it's entirely possible that the 2011-2012 series Boss is the greatest two-season show in television history. It tells the story of Tom Kane, the longtime mayor of Chicago, who is clearly meant to represent a modern version of the city's original Mayor Richard Daley. This ruthless political powerhouse is diagnosed in the opening scene of the pilot episode with dementia with Lewy bodies, a degenerative neurological disorder that brings with it tremors, hallucinations, and a looming death sentence. Consumed by a lust for power that overwhelms his scant regard for his family, Kane tries to keep his condition a secret from almost everyone in his life. As the circle of awareness widens, slowly, his eroding judgment causes him to struggle through crises born of the consequences of his decades of previous decisions. Kane is portrayed in vivid fashion by Kelsey Grammer, who imbues this politician with larger-than-life stature and even manages, in moments of really outstanding acting, to stir some small degree of sympathy for this generally loathsome but vulnerable man. Sadly, the series was never given the chance to live up to its full potential by its early cancellation, but, like Deadwood, the body of work that did get produced is incredible. Number 4, Fargo. Like Boss, it's only run for two seasons thus far, but Season 3 returns in the spring of 2017. Unlike Boss, it's an anthology, so each season has its own start-to-finish arc. This show was inspired by the 1996 movie of the same name, and Season 1 had a small tie to the film. Season 2 then had a link to Season 1, so there's likely to be some degree of commonality flowing through the Fargo-verse as long as the series continues. Thus far, stories have been set in different places throughout the Minnesota and Dakota's Upper Plains, and have featured the commonality of decent-hearted, small-town folk and law enforcement struggling to deal with some of the overwhelming evil that they encounter in the modern world. The anthology format has allowed for a degree of all-star casting that is not particularly common on television, since the commitments are not ongoing. FX has managed to find and nurture a project that is very much in keeping with the quirky and unique nature of the cult-favorite movie that made it possible, and in so doing, they have helped to keep alive a long string of amazing dramas on their network. Number 3, Mad Men. The show that put AMC dramas on the map reaffirmed the validity of period pieces on today's television landscape as well. The existential crises of Madison Avenue ace Don Draper and his co-workers and family throughout the turbulent 1960s and raptured a fan base fascinated with the show's portrayal of a simpler time, but one in which mores having to do with everything from smoking and drinking at work to the treatment of minorities were far different. More slow-paced and deliberate than most of today's other prestige dramas, Mad Men wasn't afraid to test the patience of its audience. And if some of the characters seemed to go in circles throughout the course of the show, that was very much in keeping with a cynical worldview that questioned how much fundamental change certain people were capable of having. The cast and crew, all fairly low profile prior to Mad Men's launch, became known as one of the best ensembles on TV with one breakout performance after another. It wasn't a program for everyone, but it was one that offered great, thought-provoking entertainment for those who viewed it. Number two, Justified. Had it not been for the wonderful novels of Elmore Leonard that created the canvas for this show, the notion of an anachronistic 19th century-style gunslinger trying to keep law and order in today's Wild Wild West, a.k.a. rural America, could have seemed too absurd for any network to contemplate. Fortunately, however, FX was interested, in large part because of the Leonard books, and this tremendous show brought the tales to the small screen. As with the other shows on the list, the acting crew was amazing, with series lead Timothy Oliphant starring to great acclaim as Deputy U.S. Marshal Raylan Givens, but it was his friend Walton Goggins who really popped the territory, to use an old wrestling term, in his role as the lawman's childhood frenemy Boyd Crowder. The cat-and-mouse game between these two rivals, along with a parade of Boyd's enemies in the crime game, animated this series for a strong six-season run. Most notably, Goggins took this part coming off of a great multi-year run on The Shield, which meant that with the exception of the calendar year 2009, Goggins was a cornerstone of the FX drama brand from 2002 all the way through 2015. He was a big part of the reason that Justified was able to successfully execute what it tried to do, namely, updating the Western genre for television in the 21st century. Number one, Breaking Bad. It might be a cliche to put this show on top of a rankings list like this, but so be it. The unparalleled greatness of this series, which traced the path of Walter White from downtrodden high school chemistry teacher to methamphetamine chef to outright crime boss, earned nearly unanimous kudos because it was simply that absolutely amazing from the start to the breathtaking 8-episode finish. Again, the cast and crew were priceless, capped off by Bryan Cranston in his role as Walt. This is the role that took him from very respected chameleon actor to thespian icon, and justifiably so. There has never been a program on television that delivered such an adrenaline rush all the way through, and there may never be again. Breaking Bad represented the television pinnacle of not merely the past decade, but perhaps the entire history of the genre, and as with some of the other shows on this list, we had a tremendous time covering it. Thank you for tuning into this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.